fulfilled. Whatever he could do, amen, whatever the Grissoms asked him to do, that's what he did. Amen. I appreciate that. I'd like for Brother Raymond to come. As he comes, say, God bless Brother Raymond.
We've been singing, woo, we are hot tonight. Amen. We've been singing quite a bit tonight, but I want to teach you guys a new song. Now, some of you, if you've followed the group or if you've heard of the group called Selah, then you know this chorus. There's more to it, but we're just going to learn the chorus tonight. It basically says, in Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. So, Sister Stephanie, let's, and we'll go through it, and then I want you guys to learn this song. And then we'll do it once, and I want you guys to join in and sing with us on this song.
In Jesus' name, we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, press on. In Jesus' name, we press on.
Has anyone found the strength that you need to press on? Amen. Well, this is not going to be a lengthy occasion. I don't have a great philosophical message for you. We won't delve into much of the exegesis of it all. But I do want to encourage someone tonight, in Jesus' name, press on. Amen. You do not have to stand, but Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, you almost could quote it by heart. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. I struggled. I talked to Brother Grissom over the weekend. He said, I'm not going to be here on Wednesday. Can you cover service for me? I said, sure. As any good servant would do, sure I will. Well, immediately I knew the Lord just gave me this. He gave me the song, and he made it all work for me. And so I started thinking and thinking and thinking, and I have a problem in that I think so well, and then when I try to put it on paper, it gets lost in the translation somewhere. So if this does not go as smooth as I intend it to do, just know that it's the thought that counts. I preached a really good service this evening. But I want to encourage someone to press on. And in my struggle, I said, how am I going to do this? I'm in the mode now where I'm geared to talking to our young people. And sometimes it's so much easier to talk through the situation, through the topic that you want. Bring the Bible in, make it real so that they can apply it. Or I could stand up here and try to preach a sermon that I'm not wired to preach. I'm not a preacher. So I'm going to take the former approach, and I just want to talk through some things with you, and then we'll bring in some Bible to make it real and to apply it to ourselves. If anyone here tonight can agree or to testify to this statement, I want you to do that. I want you to agree with me in whatever way you can. Life is unpredictable by design. Have you found that life is unpredictable? We don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. We don't know what's going to happen 24 hours from now. Life, by its very design, is unpredictable. If we knew what was coming around the corner, then we would have omniscience. We are not all-knowing creatures. God designed us with a very limited knowledge of what was going to happen. And even then, what we think is going to happen hinges on the unpredictability of everyone else around us. Wow, that's a really smart statement. Everything we know that's going to happen, or we think is going to happen, it all hinges on the unpredictability of everyone else around us. We think tonight when we leave, we're going to get into our cars, we're going to go down to the stop sign, we're going to hang a left or a right. From there, we think we're going to go through town or out through the country to get to our homes, and we think we're going to go to bed. In the instant we get on the highway, our lives hinge on the unpredictability of someone else. Is everyone that's coming up to that red light going to stop and obey that red light? If someone doesn't, the unpredictable nature of life is that we could be injured in a car wreck, and instead of finding ourselves at home, we find ourselves in a hospital. You see, whatever we know or we think we know about our future, it all hinges on the unpredictable. And that's what makes God, God. Because what we find to be unpredictable and that thing that we find to be unsteady and unsure, he already knows the outcome. He already knows if we're going to make it to our homes and find ourselves warm in our bed, or he knows if we're going to be in the ER at East Texas Medical Center. He knows everything about us. He knows our future. Your tomorrow is being written today, but it's not for you to read. That's God's business. He's writing your tomorrow today. And so when we find ourselves in situations that we don't truly understand, It's because our stories are still being written, but it's not our time to read the rest of the story. That's the unpredictable nature of God. Sometimes, and you may disagree with this, hold on. That's good. Sometimes believers, and I'm going to classify believers as those that are in church and those that have been in church but are no longer in church because they know. I'm not talking about those that have no clue. I'm talking about those that have had the knowledge and are still there or that have walked away. It's hard sometimes for believers to truly grasp the concept that God is not playing a game with you. He's not teasing you with your life. For some, it seems that every day that comes around is a new problem, a new crisis, something else that has totally torn us down. It seems that every day we find something else that totally tries to pull us away from our belief, tries to shake us from our foundation of who we know is Christ and our faith in that man. Every day the devil is trying something to trip some of us up, every one of us. He's trying to trip us all up, but sometimes life itself just happens. Life is not always fair, and life isn't always easy. No one said it would ever be. But sometimes when we get into the church and we come into a relationship with the Lord, we think that everything is supposed to be okay, and that's not the case. Life is still unpredictable. You're still on this earth. You're still robed in flesh, so therefore you are still subject to the unpredictableness of life. And so sometimes we find ourselves in a position that we're unsure of. We don't understand why we're here and what got us to this point. As unique as you are, and as unique as your circumstances are, no one else could possibly know what you're going through and what you're thinking, what you're feeling. As unique as your situation is, it's not unique to God. He knows all about it. If you look, if you think I am the only one, or it seems that no one else has a clue where I'm at, you're not so unique that God doesn't know what he's doing. He's already written your tomorrow. He's writing it now. He knows your uniqueness. There are times in a Christian's life that we find ourselves questioning, and we find ourselves weak in our faith, or maybe we're just weary, we're tired. We've been beaten down by life to a point where it seems like God is just teasing us. He says that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you to the very end of the earth. And sometimes it feels like you're dangling out there in the middle of nowhere, that nobody has a clue. You're not anywhere where God can find you. You're not anywhere where God can help you. It sometimes gets so frustrating, it gets so maddening, that you question God, what are you doing? Did you bring me to this point for this? Is this what life really is all about? Is this what this Christian walk is all about? Is this what it's supposed to be? It feels like you're just dangling out there, that he's playing with you, that he's just, you know, people say that the scripture says that he's not going to put any more on you than you can bear. But man, he comes close sometimes. It feels like he's just trying to just put one more little brick on you just to see how far he can go before you break. And that's not what he's doing. He's not in the game playing business. But even still, we question. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, we find a woman whose daughter is in trouble. Has anyone ever had a child in trouble? And this daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She was possessed in a severe way. And this woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Verse 23 says, "But he answered her not a word." Does it ever feel like sometimes you come to the Lord with a problem, a severe, urgent need, and you pour yourself out to him and he answers you not a word? Doesn't say a thing. You've poured out everything that you've got. You've begged for mercy and he answers you not a word. It's those times where you question, "Lord, is this for real? Did you really bring me to this point? Are you really there? Do you really know where I'm at?" Even the disciples were saying, "Send her away. She's bothering us. She cries out after us." And then he turns to her when he finally does speak and he says, "I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she came back and she said, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." But he answered and he said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Do you see the desire? Do you see the urgency? Do you see the need in her cry? The Lord has first responded to her with silence. And then he secondly responds with an insult. "You're a dog." How many at that point, truly and honestly, check yourself, how many of us would be tempted to turn and to walk away? "You didn't say anything the first time, and when you did, you insulted me." Is that what God is? Is that who you truly are? But he said, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Don't want to get on anybody's nerves with that crackling sound. In Jesus' name, she pressed on. She was pressing the master for her need, for her answer. She didn't give up when there was silence, and she didn't give up when there was ridicule. She pressed for her answer, and she got what she needed. Great is your faith. In the book of Matthew still, we find that Jesus had gone to Capernaum. And upon his entering, a centurion man came to him, pleading, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Now, if you're wondering, most of these are coming out of the New King James Version. So if they sound a little different, it's the New King James Version. And Jesus said, "I will come and I will heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy." Have you ever come before the Lord with a need and he said, "Okay," but then you say, "I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm not worthy for you to do this for me. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house and do that very thing that I'm asking you." He said, "I'm not worthy. Just speak your word, and my servant will be healed." Many times we come before the Lord knowing our past. We cheat ourselves from the future with this tag that we label ourselves as unworthy. He knows you're unworthy. He knows that. He justified you with his blood. When you took on his name, you became worthy. Don't cheat yourself from a blessing with the title of unworthy. He knows you're unworthy. But skipping on ahead, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith." not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west. They'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. He came to Jesus, handicapping himself as being unworthy, but because of his faith, he pressed on. And then there's this lady. There's a catch to this story. In Luke chapter 7, don't want to read it out of the Amplified version, but I guess I will. In the Amplified version, and I'm sorry I do not have the King James for you. I thought I did. Do you have that? Luke chapter 7, verse 12 through 15. The Amplified version can really throw you for a loop. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of that city was with her. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier or the coffin. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he touched, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Remember when I asked you how many times you feel like God doesn't even know, you wonder if God even knows where you're at? This lady didn't even ask for anything. She was on her way to bury her only child, being the only one left in her family as her husband had already passed away. And we don't know that she ever cried out unto the Lord. But God saw her and had compassion on her. In her moment of grief, in her moment of sorrow, she may have never uttered a word, but God saw where she was and he spoke to her situation. He touched that coffin, he spoke to that lifeless body. And he said, get up. And the thing that gets me about the Amplified version is it says, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. When she felt that everything had been taken from her, she lost her husband and she lost her only child. She was alone in the world and she felt like everything was taken. He gave her back her son. Through his compassion, he gave back. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. There's so many examples in the Bible where God has truly done some miraculous things. People have cried out. It said that when he would get to places that they would bring in the multitudes and he would heal them and he would cast out demons and he would do all manner of things for them. It's untold what he's done. It couldn't even be contained in all of the books and that the world could hold, could never contain everything that Jesus did. But in John chapter 20, and believe it or not, I am actually closing. Sister Dana, if you would. John chapter 20 says this. Verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I wanted you to sing that song tonight and to learn that song tonight for this very reason. When it seems like you're all alone, and when it seems like everything has been taken from you, when it seems like God truly doesn't care and that you're all alone, you've got to press on. If any of these people had given up in their quest for an answer, they would have left empty-handed. If she had not pressed, if she had taken the ridicule and the silence of God and simply walked away, her daughter would have been demon-possessed to the day that she died. If she had stopped, she never would have received that blessing. If the centurion had never pushed for Jesus just to speak the word, "You don't even have to come to my house because I'm not worthy for you to darken my doors. Don't even, just send your word." If he had never pushed, his servant would have been paralyzed till the day that he died. If this lady in her grief had not been able to move Jesus with compassion, she would have buried her son. We've got too much going for us to stop short of receiving our blessing. We've got situations in our lives and in our church. We don't understand why we're there. We don't understand how we got there. But all we've got to understand is, in Jesus' name, we've got to press on. We've got family. Every one of us have family that we're going to bury and not know whether or not they've ever had that experience with the Lord. We've got to press on. We've got to push. We've got to push through until we get God's attention and he makes something happen for that person. We've got to push on and press on for our own salvation. Now is not the time to be so disgruntled with everything that you turn and you'll walk away just because you don't understand. It may seem like everything, the rug has been pulled out from under you, and you're standing every service in a place that's unfamiliar to you. You've got to press on. We have got a purpose, and God has got a plan for this body, for this body of believers. If we fail to press on, what are we missing out on? There's been prophecy after prophecy after prophecy given from this platform. There's been saints of this church that have been given dreams of great revival. If we fail to press on, if we give up on the very promise of God, what are we cheating ourselves out of? Who are we going to bury? Who are we going to allow to slip through our fingers? We as a body have got to press on, but you as an individual have to press on. The rest of that song says, when the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all, in Jesus' name we press on. No matter what lies before you, no matter who you were in the past, you've got to press on. You've got to press on. The prize is clear before us. We know that heaven is closer every day. The prize is clear before us. We've got to find the internal strength to keep pressing on every day. Young person, it seems like things just don't work out for you, that your parents just don't understand you. Saints, it seems like your young people just aren't getting it. Press on. Press on. Take every day and press on. Don't give up on anyone. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on our young people. Don't give up on our church. And most of all, don't ever give up on God. When it seems that you're standing in absolute silence and darkness, press on. Let's stand, and one more time, let's sing that song. And let's, as a church, and I'm not trying to do something charismatic and say, this is our new song. But I want you, it's blessed me, just this song has blessed me, when those times come, to just know, press on. In Jesus' name, press on. If this can be a blessing, which I know it can be, if this will bless you, learn this song and let it be a song that encourages you. Be encouraged tonight. God knows exactly where you are, and He's got the answer that you need. We just have to press for it.
In Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, we the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on.
That's beautiful. Let's do it again.
In Jesus' name press on. In Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on, dear Lord, with the prize. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on.
Amen. Well, we appreciate everyone being here. We appreciate your faithfulness to the church, to our pastor, to each other, to the Lord. Thank you for enduring 30 minutes of sound teaching, might I add. Is Brother Lozano still in the room? Where? Oh. Well, Brother Ferguson, would you ask the Lord's blessing as we dismiss tonight?